You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's about to be ejected from the podcast cinematic universe. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I don't feel so good.
Aww. Mr. Stark.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh boy, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Legend of Zelda 2 can die in a fire.
It's terrible, right?
No, it's not. It's a classic.
It's very difficult.
It's just hard.
Like, the hitboxes for some of the stuff don't make sense.
I've never had a hitbox issue.
Like, I went through the first dungeon and that horse head boss.
Yeah,
for some reason,
hit him in the horse head.
Yeah, I know. And I was doing that, but it kept saying I was hitting him in the armor.
I don't think you were if it didn't register.
Oh my god.
I've never had an issue with the hitboxes. My favorite thing about that game is it makes the sword fighting feel like sword fighting in a weird 8-bit video game way. There's like this weird meatiness to the combat that's really obviously very skill-based because it's super hard, but like fighting an iron knuckle like feels like something.
Oh man, the iron knuckle is the worst thing ever. Like I'd beat one, I'm like yay, and then like I change screens and there's another one, I'm like no.
But you get better at it as you play and it's like a gained skill in it. I don't know, I wish they would remake that one and sand off some of the rougher edges.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It'd be fantastic.
That was really funny though, because before I had the candle and I'm going through like the caves and stuff and it's all dark, I could tell when to jump because I could see like artifacting on the ground wherever the hidden monster.
Oh no, that's the way the original game is. You can see the bottom of that little bug monster.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a bug but, monster.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it is hard. It is definitely hard. And I didn't realize you could block things with your shield until like.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Like. With the coloring on Link, you can barely tell what is what on him.
Yeah, it doesn't help that his sword is, like, flesh-colored.
Yeah.
Like, the sword is the same color of his arm, and...
It's not very long. He has no reach whatsoever.
No, and, like, the... Even when you're at full health and you're shooting the sword, it still doesn't reach real far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's definitely hard. I was like, man, I could see why people skip this one. But,
I've never beat it.
I mean, but interacting with, like, villagers and stuff, like, in a game that old seemed pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it does it better than Castlevania 2 does.
That's very true. Was Legend of Zelda 2, was that the one that has, like, I am error?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's like, it was one of the NPCs that pops up.
Yeah, he just tells you, I am error, because that's his name, not because there's a mistake.
Yeah.
His name in the Japanese version is Bagu, which sounds like bug, which got translated as error.
Yeah. And weren't all the towns in Legend of Zelda 2 names used in later games, like in Ocarina, right? That was like a lot of the sages were
taken
from that. Actually, Zelda 2 and Ocarina actually have a lot of similarities if you think about it. Because, I mean, Zelda 2 has a lot more like, you know, one-on-one sword play sort of style.
Yeah.
Like, it's surprisingly similar despite being mechanically very different.
No, I can see it.
Zelda 2 actually has the whole map of Zelda 1 on it, if you can get there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's... Not one-to-one, but it's supposed to be a representation of the map of the original game.
I have not played either of those games.
You haven't played the original Zelda?
Don't think so.
You probably should. It's on the Switch for free, kind of.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah.
You can play those hot new games, Vice Project Doom and Kung Fu Heroes that they added. The ones everybody knows what they are.
Yeah.
I wish they would just put Kung Fu on there.
Yeah. That'd be nice. That's a good one.
It's fun.
I like the arcade version.
Yeah. Though I did notice whenever I get a game over and one again and laughs, I'm like, hey, that's the bad guy from Kung Fu.
that also sounds like Sagat from Street Fighter 1.
Try again, kid.
It's probably the same sound. It's what the only sound they can make with the chipboard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that Zim movie. You guys watch that Zim movie?
I have not.
Oh. I planned on it and then didn't get around to it, unfortunately.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
I've heard it's really good.
We'll wait till everybody's seen it because it's so good. It's so funny, like very, very funny.
Yeah.
Like I noticed it was definitely longer than the Rocco one.
Yeah.
It's like 70 minutes, right? It's almost full length.
An hour and 11 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's film length.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I've heard some really good things about it. I've heard that my chief worry about the movie was that the cynicism kind of Vasquez between the cynicism of Zim, the original show, and also how he's been in the TV industry for what, 10, 15 odd years at this point, and like has not really had a hit quite like Zim. Might bleed into the show, but from what I understand, it doesn't really do that.
Oh, no.
What else has he done other than Zim?
He's directed a few offhand episodes here and there of things.
And he's had a couple pilots that didn't get picked up.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was 19 when he made in Zim. Like he was
really that was all the older he was. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, he was like really young when he did his two comics. And then,
so he wasn't that much older than I was when I was reading Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Right.
Me
yeah.
too.
No wonder it resonated so much. I don't want to compare the two, the Rocco special and the Zim movie, because they're two very different things. But I definitely think the Zim movie was funnier. Or maybe that's just more in tune with my sense of humor. I don't know. They both are in weird ways, but
like different points on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think the Rocco movie tells a sweeter and better story, but the Zim movie is funnier and just all around funnier.
Did they get like all the voice actors back?
I think the tallest might have been different.
Those were the two guys from
Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
They sounded a little different to me, but it could still be them and they just sound different.
Because they're older.
The teacher passed away in 2006.
Oh, she is not in it.
Oh, well, that's probably why she's not in it.
Miss Bitters, I think.
Miss Bitters, yeah.
I don't even think there's a scene in the school.
I guess she was like 90 years old when she recorded that.
Wow.
The character looked 90 years
old. Yeah. I guess she was like a veteran like actress or something or like bit player, you know, back in the 50s or whatever, and they gave her the script and she like got the jokes enough to record it.
I mean, Miss Bitter says some really dark stuff.
Yeah.
There's always like cockroaches crawling out of her and like just really creepy looking stuff.
And like she like embodies shadows.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, the Zim movie is, like, somehow, at the same time, the cutest thing you'll ever see and the most horrifying thing you've ever seen smashed together. Like,
it sounds like Zim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like Grr.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah.
I've been on, like, borderline wanting to watch it again, and I'm not somebody that rewatches things.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's how much I liked it.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I really kind of wanted to watch it for the show this week. I just... Stuff came up. I just wasn't able to get to it. But
we'll talk
this week
about it more in depth next week.
Next week, I will definitely have it watched by next week for sure.
For now, like definitely watch it.
Okay, cool. Well, speaking of watching things, the thing I checked out this week, I went to Studio 35 last weekend for their Bad Movie Night. They're not doing them quite as often as they used to, but this was their 8th year anniversary or something
been
like that.
Long?
They've been doing these things for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, so, they played a movie that they had never done before.
Oh.
It was Prom Night 2, Welcome Back Mary Lou, I think is what it was called.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, and this movie was insane. And like, okay, so, I mean, it's basically this prom queen back in the 50s was accidentally killed on stage by a jealous boyfriend who wanted to throw a stink bomb at her, but it caught her dress on fire and one did anything about it.
Like stink bombs will do.
Which, fun fact, that was at the time the longest human on fire scene in any movie.
Wow.
Up to that point. It was
it's
like
2 hours long.
It was 2 hours of just burning. Yeah, no. And then it cuts to like the 80s and the prom queen possesses this girl basically. And then spooky murders start happening. The effects in it were surprisingly not bad. It was incredibly hokey. there was a just a couple of real just wild scenes. And you know what? The weirdest thing, Bad Movie Night, what they usually do is they splice in a bunch of like jokes and gaffes and like things to kind of punch up a otherwise kind of terrible, good, bad movie. This one had no edits. Like they had like a million trailers like before, like they usually do. But once the movie started, all they did was trim it down for time. There was no edits in it, and it worked. It still worked as a laughably bad film. It didn't need it.
Like not even like callbacks to stupid scenes in the same movie?
Yeah, no, nothing like that. Yeah, this movie was insane. Like some stuff I can't get into on air, like craziness. It was really good. It was a lot of fun.
Man, I thought Chopping Mall was the best
one. Oh, Chopping Mall is great, though.
I wish I would have saw that. I've seen that movie, just not Bad Movie Night.
Oh, it's so good.
I
still have a button on my desk that says, "You smell like pepperoni."
You smell like pepperoni, yeah. Oh, man. No, the Chopping Mall one that they did, they like cut to that head exploding scene like four or five times, yeah, didn't they?
It's a good head explosion.
It's like the best part of the movie. You know, I'm not usually a movie guts and gore type guy. But like when there's a good practical effect of something that crazy over the top, like, yeah.
I think that's why I like The Stuff.
Oh, The Stuff's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's like some weird like diet body horror right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, The Stuff's, yeah. Have you ever seen Street Trash?
Yes.
No.
Oh, there's some,
that movie's awful.
Yeah, there's, oh yeah, but there's some awful stuff, like the guy on the toilet that like melts.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
gross.
Oh yeah, the melt effects are really cool and gross, but the movie itself, the movie is trash.
It's rotten. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah,
we saw a bad movie thing too. We went to Riff Tracks live. They did a giant spider invasion.
Oh yeah,
which is a movie that Mystery Science Theater has done before, but they did it again with new jokes.
They've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, it was really good. That spider is hilarious because it's literally a VW bug that they put a big spider. It looks like a parade float that's killing everyone.
That's awesome. Oh man, that would be a great movie.
A killer parade float?
Yeah.
like Christine?
Macy's Day Massacre or something like that?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that would be great. Like all of the balloons become sentient and start like flopping on people.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Hell yeah.
That's like getting into some like killer clowns from outer space. Oh, yeah. Like rubber.
Oh, and that would be great. Yeah. Rubber, the death tire. The deadly tire. Or how about deathbed, the bed that eats or whatever. Yeah. What was that? Something like that?
I think that's what it was called. Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was. Don't watch Thanksgiving.
Don't watch Thanksgiving. Although there was a guy that lived in Marion that was one of the leads in Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He taught at Ridgedale for a short time.
But the Riff Tracks thing was good. It's always a good time. So if you have the opportunity to get one of those, you're not going to be disappointed.
Oh, those are great.
Did your mom have a good time?
Yes, she did.
That's good.
Hey,
it was for my birthday.
That's great. No, that's
awesome. I just know because I went to the vet that day and she mentioned she was going.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the last one we went to. I don't think we talked about it on here. Mm-hmm. The movie was Star Raiders? I got to look up the whole title. Give me a second.
It would make a really good, like, bad movie.
What's that?
Movie.
Yeah.
But it might be a little too modern for it.
Okay.
Star Kid.
Okay. Maybe. Like, you know, I say I like bad movies, but that's kind of a misnomer. I like good bad movies because there has to be, like, laughably bad things to kind of grab onto.
Yeah, it's probably not schlocky enough.
Yeah, there's not enough schlock. Like, that's just a bad
movie.
Like... A bad movie is just the worst to sit through, but when there's like over the top terribleness, like when there's comedy in its badness.
Yeah.
Like there's an old movie called Zat. Have you ever seen Zat?
Sounds familiar.
A guy turns himself into a catfish monster.
Yeah, okay. You've told me about this movie.
And like that movie is like, it was filmed by like this company. It was their only feature film. They do like industrial, like workplace films and like educational films, so like a lot of the shots are just like static shots and it looks like it's filmed by an industrial, like, you know, workplace management, like, film company.
So you're saying this, and I'm thinking about, like, all the workplace accident films I've watched over the years, and they're all stupid and bad.
Oh, that's exactly like, it.
Dummies thrown off top of buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Fake hands caught in machinery, and you got some guy, like,
What was the one they did as a short at Riff Tracks?
Shake hands with
Shake hands with danger. Yeah, that's a good one.
you should cut that in.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I'll have to find that.
I was talking about, it's called Star Raiders, The Adventures of Saber Rain.
Yes.
And this movie was from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like worse than a Sci-Fi Channel original movie. And it was hilarious. It was one of the best riff tracks I've ever seen. The movie was just completely buck wild.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pick up that. I think you can buy just the streaming riff tracks for it. It's very, very good.
Also, I want to add in here, Space Mutiny is really good with Reb Brown.
Yeah. They redid
Dirk Hardcheese.
Oh, man. Speaking of like sci-fi movies that are terrible. So I guess the Sharknado guys, now that they're done doing Sharknados or whatever.
Finally.
Oh, we saw the trailer for this.
The what was it called? Like Dead Wave or something?
Yeah,
they
should have called it Zombie Tsunami, but they did. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Zombie Tidal Wave.
Yeah, Zombie Tidal Wave is what it's called.
Yeah, it's like waves in the ocean bringing the undead to beaches.
Now, the question is, are they doing it like tongue-in-cheek, like, we know this is bad, like, you're going to laugh because this is a bad film that we are making, or are they like actually being kind of like, we're making this crazy thing and trying to make it a actual film?
I think they're hedging their bets. Because the trailer I saw, it was kind of in between, like, this is a joke, but maybe it's not a joke.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have, like, that Sharknado 1 magic until they beat it into the ground. With a
well, even Sharknado 1, they knew they were making a bad movie. The best bad movies are the ones that are made with completely pure intentions.
Like The Room.
Like The Room, yeah. You have a Birdemic. Like, you have a movie that is... The director thinks that they are making the next Citizen Kane and everyone is taking it super seriously.
And there's
Samurai Cop. Yeah. Like, the actors knew that they were bad, but they were being actors. So, and the director was like, this is going to be the next best action movie, like the best thing ever.
Troll 2.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a level of
Evil Dead
sincerity.
Being the most famous of the good bad movies.
Yeah. The difference between a bad movie and a good bad movie is sincerity. That is bar none what you need. Absolutely.
Even Manos, they were sincere.
Go
listen to the interview we did with
Jackie Naaman Jones and Tanya Atomic when they did the Manos Returns.
Yeah, the Kickstarter one.
Yeah. But yeah, they made that, the original one, as like they were thought they were making the next best horror movie, and it just was not it.
You ever notice like how many like of movies that come out, horror movies like per capita are like pushed out like a million every year.
Oh, they're the easiest to make.
And they're always the worst. They're just always so bad.
Horror movies are easy to make. The Woods is very easy to shoot in. Most of it's at night, so natural lighting is, you know, better than having to buy a bunch of shop lights.
Yeah.
And it's better to try to make people scared than try to make them laugh. And in doing so, you end up making people laugh by... Failing to make people scared. Yeah.
Yeah, a botched jump scare is one of the funniest things you can do.
Uh-huh. Oh, there's one in Black Roses. It was one of those heavy metal, like, metal band comes to a town and the metal band is secretly a bunch of monsters. And there's, like, the final, like, concert, you know, these people are, like, you know, they're in the crowd raving and stuff and the monster's, like, feeding on them, basically. And like there's a flash, it's supposed to be a jump scare, and this girl like looks surprised and all of a sudden it flashes and it's like this skeletless skeleton with like a wig, like
it's like he wandered,
just shaking there.
It's like he wandered his way in from the Touch of Grey Grateful Dead video.
Right, yeah. And it's like I know it was supposed to be played for like, you know, a jump scare, but it's like the prop is so like laughably bad.
Like Army of Darkness skeleton army guys.
Or like,
yes. Like where they're just shaking a skeleton on
and
a
not
stick.
Like the front line skeleton army, like the back of the shot skeleton army where it's like the bad stuff, and it's so funny.
Or like Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion, where you have jump scares that work, but they're like a cute ghost.
Yeah, right.
Oh my god, I just remember that scene where you have the skeleton chasing somebody in Army of Darkness because I got a bone to pick with you. Oh my god, so bad.
I need to see that movie.
You know, Sam Raimi is one of the few directors that is able to take, I think, actually make a horror movie funny, but not like in the look how dumb this is funny.
Yeah.
Like, and the scene, the bits where it looks bad, they lean into it. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that works. I think that, yeah, that's, yeah. That what makes it work.
But even then, I think with Evil Dead, they were trying to make like a legit horror movie.
But Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, it was horror comedy, for sure.
And Evil Dead's still a good movie.
It is.
It's cheesy, and the effects are like, well, that's clearly oatmeal. But right. It's still a good movie.
It's the camera work is what makes that movie. Like the quick cuts and like the shaking around and stuff, and like the real close zoom-ins on faces as they're like yelling and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what really makes it work.
Plus, they were just a bunch of friends.
That definitely helps too. Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes when a bunch of friends make something, that's when you get your best stuff.
That's right.
Right, guys?
Hey, that's yeah. And a fist bump. That one that didn't pick like up on Mike.
It was like a punch.
Yeah.
Like it was an angry fist bump. Oh god, it's agitated.
That's the only kind she does.
Watch out.
Well, hey, we have successfully filled the first half of the show, so let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
And we're back. That was Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead, because we made a reference to it.
We talked about it, yeah.
And it's a good song.
Yeah.
I don't know any
I don't appreciate the video. It's got too many skeletons.
It's way too scary.
Too spooky for me.
Just dooting all over the place. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the Grateful Dead, but I know that song, and I like it.
Anyway, so...
I know that they made that ice cream flavor out of one of them.
Cherry Kirsty.
No, that's fish food. That's fish.
Yeah.
There is a Cherry Kirsty.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into a little bit of news here.
So, the big, big news of the week is...
No, that's Chunky Monkey.
So, the big news of the week is Spider-Man news. And generally, we have really positive things to say about our favorite neighborhood web-slinger, but...
I don't know. He's a menace.
Yeah, swinging around in those tights like some kind of pervert.
He's a menace, and also I want pictures of him.
Oh, God, it breaks my heart so much.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Do you think J. Jonah Jameson's secretly in love with Spider-Man?
That's why 100%. So much. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely
it. He can't deal with his feelings for mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Doesn't understand the love, so he turns it into hate.
Yeah, like a child.
Yeah. Well, they even had that thing in Spider-Man 2 when, like, Spider-Man quit and he found the costume in, like, the trash and he hung it up in his office like, wow, we lost a real hero. And then Spider-Man steals it and he goes, he's a menace!
I wasn't done sniffing that.
Anyway, okay, so the news this week is Sony and Marvel Studios, and Disney, rather, are no longer collaborating on any Spider-Man
Mom and things. Dad are fighting.
They're fighting, and Tom Holland is caught in the middle.
Poor boy.
Yeah, and this is really terrible news.
It's
like
super depressing.
I've been mad about it ever since I heard it. It's been 2 days now, and I'm still angry.
Me too. And you know, I was initially mad at Sony because the initial report seemed like it was Sony that was like the impetus for like this split. We should get into why this is
it's still hard to say exactly who.
It's on both sides. Neither side want to play ball. Basically, okay, so the reason why Spider-Man was included fairly late in the MCU and up until then hadn't been included at all is because Sony has the rights for Spider-Man and his related characters.
Sony has the film rights for the characters.
They picked him up when Marvel was going through some hard times.
Yeah, they're going bankrupt and they picked him up for cheap.
Yep, that's when they got all those bad Marvel movies from the 90s and 2000s.
Right, and like it was Marvel Studios and Sony reached an agreement where it was like a 70-30 profit share or something like that.
from what I read, neither studio was making a lot of money off the collaborative efforts.
Right. But that allowed Spider-Man to show up, yes, and allowed Marvel Studios to have a greater hand in shaping where the character goes, which has been really great. Like, yeah, they have not made a misstep. Like, I think these Spider-Man movies and his inclusion in the MCU has been, like, the best representation of Spider-Man on film.
Yeah. From the instance you see him in Captain America Civil War, it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Even Stan Lee, who his opinion sometimes was a little hyperbolic, but like he said, this was probably Tom Holland's portrayal and the way he was in the films was probably the closest to what his original idea of the character was.
Oh, yeah.
Then again, he probably would have said that for any interpretation of the character because it's Stan Lee and he is a showman. He was a showman first and foremost. But I guess Sony...
I choose to believe there was a nugget of truth in that.
I choose to believe it as well.
Because
yeah,
it is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so Sony wanted to renegotiate the contract with Disney, basically calling for a 50-50 split of profit sharing and Sony having a little more creative control over their character, something like that.
I see. I thought Disney was the one that came to the table with the 50-50
split.
Yeah,
Disney wanted
it was Disney. That's right, because Sony was getting a little more out of the deal.
They were at like a 5%.
Something
Disney
like that.
Disney got like a 5% on the first day.
Ticket sales, yeah.
Ticket sales.
Something like that, yeah. And Sony decided, not only do we not want to go with that agreement, we just want to pull out of this completely because we want to take our ball and go home.
Well, it's
basically
not even so much they want to pull out completely. They want Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel, the movie branch of Marvel, mm-hmm, to work on the Spider-Man films. And I don't blame them because literally everything he touches turns to gold.
Yeah, currently, sure.
And but him being a legitimate Marvel employee and hence a Disney employee, Disney says, no,
mm-hmm,
we don't want to use him on properties we don't own.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, properties we're not going to see a huge comeback from.
Right.
So right now they're still negotiating. But as of right now, it's not looking good for Spider-Man in the extended MCU.
Here's the thing. This is all going to blow over. I don't like the fact that Disney owns everything. They've been buying up properties left and right. They bought out most of 20th Century Fox properties.
They own
all of that.
They own 20th Century Fox. The only thing of Fox they don't own is the sports and the news aspect of
and
it.
And who cares about that?
And they already own ESPN anyway.
Right. Yeah. Like, they own all of that. They own Marvel and all their stuff.
And they own all of Lucasfilm.
Lucasfilm. Yeah, I don't like the monopoly that Disney is building. However,
you are not wrong.
However, I really kind of hope they come to some kind of agreement. I don't want to say that I want to just see Disney just start throwing money at Sony until Sony goes, oh, okay, great, here, take them. But part of me is like, yeah, okay, fine, do that. In this one particular case, this might not be a bad thing.
Like, I'm not saying they need to buy Sony, even though I'm sure they would probably try.
They probably could if they wanted to.
Well, I don't know if they would, but I just out of like, Sony probably just want to give him the big stink eye, but mm-hmm, at least buy the rights to the character back.
Yeah, it would be nice to see all of the Marvel properties be under one roof.
Yeah.
And they're so close right now.
Let our heroes come home.
Now that 20th Century Fox is with Marvel Studios and Disney, Spider-Man is really kind of the only holdout.
I think Spider-Man is the only holdout.
Yeah. Now, people are saying, well, we're never going to get another good Spider-Man ever again because, you know, Sony can't do a Spider-Man movie.
They did.
That's doing Into the Spider-Verse the short shrift. Like,
that movie is fantastic.
Arguably the best Spider-Man movie.
Arguably, yeah. Like,
that movie
it's up there.
That movie is a moving piece of art.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. So if this completely falls through, what do you think this means for the Spider-Man live-action franchise going forward?
I wouldn't be so mad about it if they hadn't have built him into the MCU so strongly.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Far From Home really established a lot for that character narratively, mm-hmm, and it's going to be hard for them to pull him out of there just like that without it being really awkward and bad for the whole universe as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, that is going to be a problem. Now, the only way that we can kind of go, okay, they could take a short step back from Spider-Man for a while due to the end of Far From Home, where they kind of reveal
some stuff.
They could make it very easy for them to say, oh, well, Spider-Man is kind of laying low. He's not active right now. In the comics, there was a time where Spider-Man's public identity had been...
A few times.
And so Peter Parker assumed various other identities using his... You know, explaining his powers in different ways to kind of be different heroes.
And they have to do all this without saying Spider-Man's name.
They would have to do that without saying Spider-Man's name or anything like that.
Yeah, but here's
like
the thing. Who does Tom Holland have a contract with?
Sony.
He does have it with Sony?
Yep. He has it with Sony because Sony says that they're moving ahead with a third Spider-Man film starring Tom Holland.
They still have two more Tom Holland Spider-Man movies in contract.
Yeah. So the one good that I can see come out of this is if we get like... This is eventually, like I said, it's going to blow over, but we might see a Spider-Man film not tied in with the MCU in the interim, because I know Sony's going to want to try to capitalize on this as quickly as possible. With him not being with the MCU temporarily means that they could do a movie with him and Venom and do something with some of the more Sony-owned half of things, so that they could kind of backwards go, okay, Venom, the same universe, kind of, and then they all end up back in the MCU. It could happen.
I still kind of want a better Venom than the Venom we got.
Did you watch Venom?
Yes.
You know what? That movie isn't terrible. It's fine. It's okay. It reminds me a lot of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
The difference being Tom Hardy is supposed to be playing an adult and not a high school child like Tobey Maguire was. But that movie's fine, and I think the interplay between Tom Holland Spider-Man and... Tom Hardy's Venom would be interesting to watch on screen.
The two Toms.
Yeah.
Some of the writing in Venom was good. Like, mostly, like, the things that Venom would say.
Like a turd.
No, not that one.
In the wind.
Not that one. I mean, some of the effects were kind of cool, but at the same time, they still looked kind of weird. Like a weird, kind of dated.
It sounds like it's about as good of a superhero movie you're going to get without Marvel's involvement.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'm worried about, is, like, what... What's that going to do to the quality of our Spider-Man film?
Oh, it's going to drop. It will drop, but like I said, this is going to be a temporary thing.
Yeah.
If it's a thing at all.
I mean, it seems like every bump in the superhero road we get lately does eventually smooth over. I mean, James Gunn's back for Guardians and everything.
Yeah, they're going to work it out. But for right now, yeah, this is...
Maybe we'll get another Lord and Miller Spider-Man movie.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Although I think the director that did Far From Home is still attached.
Oh, he is?
To whatever this non-MCU movie is.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. The director's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be a terrible movie, but without the rest of the MCU there to keep you...
In check.
And interested.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the other MCU films have that baggage of, well, I get to find out what's happening to these ancillary characters maybe a little bit too.
Yeah.
I get to see this world move forward a little bit. That's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we won't have Happy. We won't have...
Any kind of...
Shield or...
Any of that.
Sword, whatever they're calling themselves at this point. We won't have Talos and what's her name.
Mm. Yeah.
But we can have Silver Sable.
And the Black Cat.
Black Cat.
Yeah, hey, Black Cat.
Those two would work really well. I'd like to see, like, I know the Goblin's been done to death in the movies, but a good-looking Goblin?
An actual Green Goblin with, like, the mask and not looking like a Power Ranger.
Like a Power Rangers villain?
Or a paintball mask and a surfboard.
Oh, that was pretty rough, too. Yeah.
Spider-Man 3 is just utter trash.
It's going to be a...
Thomas Hayden Church in that movie is okay. Sandman.
Mm. It's going to be a rebreather that you use when you're like painting in an ironing board.
That's it. Yeah.
Like I've seen like 3D prints on Etsy of like pumpkin bombs. I'm like, and that look really good.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, there are cosplayers that are doing stuff better than those movies.
That's the way it's been since the beginning. Mm-hmm. Cosplayers, for some reason, just do it. Well, they have an eye of passion for whatever.
Yeah.
They're
doing. And they have an intimate knowledge of the
character
subject.
Yeah.
All right.
I never really liked the Sam Raimi spider suit all that much.
It was fine for the time.
For the time, yeah.
It was perfectly fine for the time, but yeah, looking back on it, it is a little much. It's not quite right.
I mean, for the time, it was put everybody in leather.
Yeah.
And have no costume, which is lame.
Yeah.
I mean, Wolverine wore a costume once and it was black leather with an X on it, mm-hmm. with some yellow highlights of stripes on the side.
Yeah.
They even make the joke, what did you want, yellow spandex?
It's like, well, yes. Yes,
that's exactly what I want.
That was the one thing I liked about the first class line of films. Their costumes looked a little more comic.
They looked a little better, yeah.
Not much better, but better.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm still a little upset that at the end of, what was it, The Wolverine, where the brown suit, but he never actually wore the brown suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they open the suitcase and there it is.
Yeah. All right, anyway, we got to move on to some other news. Let's talk about some more movie news. I guess they're doing a fourth Matrix film?
Sure.
Welcome back to the late 90s, early
2000s. It's like 2000, 2001.
Yeah, Disney's something like not that. Involved in Spider-Man and we're getting another Matrix.
Oh my God.
All I've seen is people like, oh, look, John Wick's going to be... Or people didn't realize that Keanu Reeves was in The Matrix?
How do you not realize Keanu Reeves, he is the lead?
You're a literal baby.
Everyone's like, hey, John Wick was in The Matrix? I'm like...
Oh my God.
The people who only know Keanu Reeves as John Wick, and I'm like, don't get me wrong, I've heard those movies are great. Yeah. I've never watched them.
How do you... Keanu Reeves.
He's been in very many things.
Yeah.
Since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
Oh, the ones that say that, oh, why is John Wick going to be in this comedy Bill and Ted movie? It's like, and I hear that and my bones turn to dust.
Yeah.
I just fall completely.
It's like, done. It's almost like gone are the days of making fun of Keanu Reeves for saying whoa in every role.
It's like when you die in Ghouls and Ghosts, just uh-huh. a skeleton just falls over.
That's it. Yeah. But yeah, they're doing a fourth Matrix movie. One of the Wachowskis is involved, mm-hmm. Lana. I'm a little concerned because they have a couple of other writers attached to it as well as Lana. But maybe that's
what...
What
happened to the other Wachowski?
Not involved.
Huh.
That's the...
Maybe she doesn't want to.
Yeah, maybe.
It might not be a bad thing for other writers to come in because the last couple Wachowski films have not been great. Cloud Atlas was not good. Although I will say Jupiter Ascending is a good bad movie.
That's what
like,
I've heard. It's actually pretty good in a fun way.
Channing Tatum is a space werewolf with rocket boots and robot wings. Eddie Redmayne is like a space like bureaucrat who only whispers or yells. There is so much in that movie that like there's no way that it could have ever been done and it would have been good, but like it is.
It sounds like a good time.
It's a great time. Like I understand why it didn't do great theatrically, but it's like, it's really good. Sean Bean is in it. And he doesn't die, and he makes a bunch of bee-like...
Wait. Sean Bean in something, and he doesn't die.
I know, right? It's crazy. But no, he's in this movie, and he is supposedly like this like alien that is more bee than human, although he just looks like a human with weird contacts. And he makes all these bee puns.
I believe it's pronounced Sean Bean.
Sean Bean, yeah. My mistake. Yeah, it is... It is enjoyable. But yeah, the last couple Wachowski films have just not been anything.
Well, the last couple Wachowski Matrixes weren't anything either.
Yeah,
like,
that's
don't get
true.
Me wrong. There are some really neat like visual things in all three of the Matrix films. But those last two are so bad. Like when they wrote the first Matrix, it has an end.
It does.
The movie has an end.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It's an open end, but it doesn't need to be.
It's not even that open of an end.
Yeah. It's... The magic of the first Matrix movie was how it was inspired by a bunch of like anime stuff at a time when it wasn't super popular as an art form.
People didn't even know what anime was at the time.
And that's what made it unique. The second and third film kind of built off of that, and I think it was more like, well, we don't really have an idea, but it could go this way, so let's just fart something out.
People like it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of ancillary media that went with it to help you understand the whole plot.
I wouldn't
say a lot. Yeah.
There was the Animatrix. There was like
the
online stuff.
The Matrix Online. I forgot about that game.
Yeah, there was the MMO game and a video game.
There was a video game starring Jada Pinkett Smith and
Enter the Matrix.
Yeah,
Enter the
Matrix. It all tied together to tell the whole story. And mm-hmm. a lot of people didn't. People aren't going to... Only the hardest core fans at the time were going to dive into all this.
Yeah.
So it left a bunch of blank spots for everybody else that went to see the movie.
Right.
So you talk about hardcore Matrix fans, and all I can think of is that line from Grandma's Boy. when they're talking to
the one
guy, because all he wears is black leather trench coats all the time.
Goes, yeah.
So how much does food cost in the Matrix?
Yeah. That is an underappreciated film, Grandma's Boy. I mean, it came out at a time a lot of the jokes are kind of like the
problematic.
Sophomoric, yeah. Problematic. But the core of that movie was pretty good.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some other good jokes in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
but people, don't get me wrong. I love the original Matrix movie. It's one of my favorite, action films.
It's still really cool to this day.
And there are effects in that movie that are still referenced to this day, like the bullet time stuff. That is something that was unique to that film at the time. And it seems like a real weird trope now, but that was the beginning of it.
And nobody's done it as good, I don't think.
Yeah, they really have it.
No, and like the really funny thing was like the cultural impact it had like afterward.
Yeah.
Like there was that joke in Scary Movie.
There's a joke in Shrek about it.
Kung Pao Enter the Fist had a bullet time sequence with a cow shooting milk out of its udders.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Samantha and I watched it recently, and after he did like a spin around kick, I was like, now imagine that's the first time you've ever seen that.
Yeah, that's really it. Yeah.
And like, I still think their like early 2000s leather trench coat outfits are rad. Like, it still looks cool in the context of the film.
In the context of the film, yeah. I think worn today, it might be a little hokey, but like in the context of the film, sure. But I guess I'm just saying I'm cautiously optimistic for Matrix 4, but I understand that there is a very high hurdle that is going to have to jump in order to be considered
other than that is the fact that you have, when you have a sequel to a franchise come out that is so far removed from the original set,
at this point they would almost have to reboot it.
Yeah, and it's like,
which also makes me feel incredibly old.
Yeah.
And also reboot it. I mean, it's the Matrix.
It's the Matrix.
They could. They very well could.
Yeah.
Like in a story way that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
They almost have to because of what happens to the characters in the trilogy.
Well, wasn't the story of the Matrix supposed to be cyclical? Like the Matrix.
like Evangelion?
Like Evangelion, yeah. But no, like the Matrix like rebooted itself and like the same events pretty much play out over and over and
I
over
think
again.
So, why don't they?
Neo wasn't the first one. There's always another one.
So why don't they do a story where it's like the first half of the movie is just the first Matrix? But set in modern time, and then like it starts diverging as
well. No one will ever get out of the Matrix because no one ever has a landline phone anymore.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Well, here
you gotta hack the Wi-Fi.
Here's what I would do, and of course I know I'm a film genius.
Sure.
I would act like the second and third movies never happened, and just make another Matrix 2.
Yeah,
Bumblebee it.
Yeah, Well, I mean, what I would do first and foremost is not make another one.
Yeah.
But if we have to get one, that's actually a really good idea to just forget. Well, like Superman Returns it even.
Oh yeah,
because Superman Returns forgets Superman 3 and 4. Because
3 and 4 are terrible, especially 4.
Oh come on,
that fight on the moon.
Adam Man is great, and
get out of here.
Richard Pryor's in it, and that lady turns into a robot somehow. Like motherboards
cigarettes.
Get glued to her, and then she turns into a robot because that's how it works.
There's something with cigarettes. I don't. I've
something
never
with cigarettes.
Seen
yeah.
How come Superman never used that cellophane S thing anymore?
I don't know.
He's used it in the comics once or twice.
Really?
As a direct reference to Superman 2. It has happened.
Just like, what were they thinking with? Well, he'll just throw the S at him. What? Why? Where did you get this idea? Like. Where did it come from?
It comes from a time in the comics when Superman was given just any kind of crazy power that he needed to suit the story. Like Superman's super hypnotism. They don't talk about that.
Yeah, that's true. Because it's creepy.
Because it's creepy.
Yeah, the fact that's why no one can recognize Clark Kent is because he purposely messes with people's minds.
Mm-hmm. Although I like the explanation better that when he's in Superman, he is very slightly always vibrating so that when people take pictures of him or look at him, his facial features are slightly obscured.
And that's why everybody always hears that buzzing whenever he's around.
That's it. Yeah.
What's that sound? That sounds like a lot of...
Clark, what is that?
I don't know. I think it's a lot of bees.
Yeah.
He just filled toe to tip with bees. That's how he flies.
Yeah.
The bees just all go up.
Man, remember when Superman didn't even fly? He was just jumping
all the time?
He was
just jumping a lot? Yeah.
You can go into that thing from the Bee Movie about how bees, like, according to physics, shouldn't be able to fly. That's how Superman flies.
That's how it works.
The physics of the bee flight.
Oh, yeah.
We are... What is
Let's
this?
Let's go to another news
topic. We have time for one other news topic, and it's got to be kind of quick. You know what? Kevin Smith.
You tolerate him. You liked his movies when you were in high school.
And you find out later in life that they don't hold up nearly as much as
they... And
then
his newer movies are not good.
Except for Tusk.
Red State was okay.
And Red State was good.
Red State is uncomfortable to watch.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah. This is true.
But anyway, Kevin Smith is producing and partially writing, I guess, a miniseries for Netflix about He-Man?
Yeah.
I have the power!
The Masters of the Universe, I think is what
Master
it's called.
He-Man and
the Masters of the Universe.
Might
just be Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be a continuation of
the 80s
cartoon,
series.
And it's supposed to tell, like, the final battle between He-Man and Skeletor, which on paper sounds kind of neat until you hear Kevin Smith. Like, listen, I have nothing against the guy. Like, I liked his stuff.
He's a genuine dude.
He's a genuine dude.
He's not a bad writer.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah. When he's not high.
And when he's just not like just
writing stuff for his daughter.
Writing about himself
or writing movies so his daughter can have an acting career. I'm talking about Yoga Hosers.
A movie so bad I turned it off after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't great.
And I've sat through plenty of poor Kevin Smith films, and this one was too much.
At this point, there are more bad ones than good ones. But, I mean, the good ones are so much higher than...
I know. I don't want to just trash
I don't want to dump
Smith.
On the guy. We all enjoyed his stuff when we were younger, and to an extent, I still enjoy his work.
I still like Chasing Amy, and heck, I even like Jersey Girl.
Girl's all right.
I think it's because it was different.
Mallrats will always hold a place in my heart, along with Clerks.
Same here. Yeah, yeah.
And the Clerks animated show I love.
That one was
so
really
much.
Good. Yeah. Oh no, a bear is driving. How could this be?
It's one of my favorite adult animated shows I think that's ever been done.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that Family Guy was the one that took off and not the Clerks cartoon.
Pretty much. Yeah. But anyway. This could be good. When Kevin Smith is writing about things he is passionate about, when it's other people's properties and he's passionate about it, he does good things. Like his Batman comics, except for that one where he said Batman peed himself. He was telling one of Batman's first stories and Batman was explaining to like a new hero, like, oh yeah, no, the first time that I set a flashbang off, I didn't realize that the room was going to be as hot as it was and I was full of liquid. And when it went off, I did pee my pants. That's a thing in a comic.
And that's why he wears the bat diaper.
That's it. Yeah. That's super absorbency. Yeah. But when Kevin Smith is writing about things he's passionate about, good things tend to happen. I've never heard him talk about He-Man, but he's the right age to have been a very formative thing in his youth. And I mean, he's a gigantic dork. So, I mean, he's got to know He-Man. So hopefully something good comes out of this.
I mean, one of the things I said when She-Ra first came out and that first season, I was like, hey, I wonder if they'll make any He-Man references or we'll get something from DreamWorks with He-Man.
But as a reference to Matrix that we just talked about, not like this.
Monkey paw.
It is a real monkey's paw.
It's like Kevin Smith is the polar opposite of Noel Stevenson. It's like, who can we get that is the exact opposite of this?
But Kevin Smith is also, as the children say, he is pretty woke these days.
That's true.
Perhaps they could actually work some things in. I am just curious to see where they're going to fit Jason Mewes into all this.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be there. Same with Harley Quinn Smith. She's probably going to end up being Teela.
Or the Sorceress.
Oh, that'd be awful.
That would be pretty bad.
Teela would be fine.
That would be fine. That's okay. But yeah, I'm just...
What if Jason Mewes is Grassman?
That would be fitting.
What if he's just Jay?
Well, he's just Jay shows up.
Yeah. I mean, there's precedent for Earth humans appearing in Eternia in the Christmas special.
Snooch to the Mother Eternian Nooch.
What happened to Grassman?
I don't know. Some guy smoked him.
No, he's Cartoon Jay, so he's just kind of a mischief-making figure.
Yeah, he sells fireworks outside of, yeah.
Of Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we're going to get painting shots of you, like, King Randor's castle or Castle Grayskull.
King, mm-hmm. King Randall's castle?
There we go. Yeah, yeah. Perfect. You know what? I take back everything I was worried about. This is going to be great.
It'll be the Clerks cartoon, but in the He-Man universe.
What if that's what this is? It's just it's a secret way that he is working back into like the Clerks cartoon. Like Dante is like
no.
Orko.
I'm not even supposed to be doing magic today.
Yeah.
What if
Skeletor's Leonardo?
That's it. Yeah.
What if the whole series or special, whatever this is going to be,
it's a miniseries.
Yeah. What if the whole thing, like, in the background is the big epic climactic battle between He-Man and Skeletor going on,
mm-hmm.
but the foreground of everything we see...
Just Man-at-Arms and Triclops?
Well, Triclops is a bad guy.
Well, I mean, still.
There's Manny-faces, but...
Yeah, Manny-faces.
But just normal Eternia people.
Well, the camera's not going to ever move.
Oh, so. Never. It's going to be one static animated shot. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is a Kevin Smith staple.
Yeah, but not...
Cinematography? What's that?
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, we have hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right, and we're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more if you want to find some of our back episodes. We haven't thanked them in a while, but I want to thank David Pencil for the super awesome intro and outro
for the show.
It is really good. So yeah, we are also on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and you want to help support the show and help us do even more awesome, super cool things,
you
can check it out over there. Yeah, you can get the show a little bit early. I'm actually thinking about some other tiers for some other things, so we'll see how that goes. Also, we have t-shirts. Just go over to nerdoverload.com and click the store link. We have some pretty neat stuff over there.
Wishlist my game on Steam. It's called Believe Psychic Paranormal Adventure.
Yeah.
Look it up. Give it a wishlist because it helps me out. Makes
you, it
more
you sure
visible
you put that in the right order this time?
Yeah, I put it in the right order this time.
It's super good. I've played the demo. It's excellent. I'm looking forward to the full game.
And I'm not even supposed to be here today. Peace out.